Today on Talk About That, I play understudy for a comedian friend who gets sick and hope to avoid some guy named Ian. Meanwhile, John gets the weirdest feedback ever after his latest sermon and moves his office to the great outdoors. Plus a conversation about Advil PM and empathy. Today's episode is not sponsored by cottage cheese. We've gone bad, but you won't know till the first bite. Let's do this.
What's up out there? I'm John here with Johnny.
Guys, we're back.
Another episode.
In living color.
Talk about that is living color because
I say that, but I have like the most drab brown walls behind me. Nothing here.
Yeah, this is the...
I'm going to have some photos and things back here next time.
This is the rebirth of the video side of the podcast is happening right now.
It's important.
It is. And we're doing it's now split screen. So we're back in my office.
We're together in the same room.
Right.
But it looks like we're on a Zoom call.
Right. And for a long time, we went upstairs. I was like, hey, I'm glad we didn't like totally clear out someone's office, repaint all the walls, put a table in, and like... It just didn't work out as we wanted it to. So right now, we didn't think of this in the first place. Just go split screen and some tight shots and go with it. So that's what
we're back.
Doing.
And yeah. We're doing it. And we hope that you're watching and listening.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, you should probably take a moment and go check out the
people who
channel.
Listen to podcasts, don't they have like a certain thing they just want to listen? They're doing it during the commute or road trips or whatever.
The more important thing is that you follow us on Instagram because you'll hopefully see clips of us.
Oh, that's true.
That's the
highlights.
Yeah. So speaking of highlights, you had a lot of travel lately. Maybe give us some highlights, Johnny.
I did. I had one of the busiest weeks I've had since COVID. I had four shows in a row in four different cities. And then I was going to come home and I get a call. I was in North Dakota flying home the next day. And my buddy called me and said, who's another comedian? He said, what are you doing this weekend? And I was like, I'm going home tomorrow. I'm home this weekend. He was like, what if you didn't go home? And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm sick. And so I was like, oh no. And he was giving me his symptoms. I was like, this is COVID. Have you tested for COVID?
Yeah.
And he goes, no. It feels like a sinus infection. Mm. And he goes, but it is sick like I've not been in a long time. And I go, okay. And then the next day he was like, I've got a fever. I go, will you test? So he tested and he has COVID.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, now you can't do the shows. I said, just tell him I can be a replacement. But then you have to get it all cleared.
Right.
So like 2 days out, you have to call these people.
Which means they're going to go look at your clips and be like, is this guy funny enough
exactly.
to do this?
Right. They've promoted it and they've made flyers.
It's like you're in the middle school
guy.
Locker room again, and like the starting running back got injured,
yeah.
or whatever, and they're like, is this guy good enough to do this? And
I think of it more as, because I never was a good athlete, I think of it more as like holding my lunch tray in the lunchroom. I'm looking for the table to sit at. You know, do I get to go to the cool kids table?
No, they're asking you to come to another table.
Luckily, neither of these shows was for the cool kids. No, I'm just kidding. They were fun. They were great, and they accepted me as a replacement. So then it was, now we got to get there, and yeah. I had to buy flights the day before, which is always fun, you know, flight wise.
What'd you fly?
Southwest.
Okay.
So I did it, and both events went really well. One was a fundraiser for a drug and alcohol rehab center, and one was like a church thing for volunteer appreciation, which I do a lot of.
Yeah.
One was in Sarasota. It was so funny. You ever had this happen to you when you go on a trip without your wife? And they end up putting you up at like a really nice place, and you just feel so bad because you're like, if I was here with my wife, we would be at like Hampton Inn at best,
right?
But no, I'm at the Westin on the 8th floor, overlooking the whole city, and the event was in the ballroom, so I just had to go right downstairs, 6 floors to do the show, then come right back up to my room, and it was just amazing. And then the other one was at I did one in Sarasota, Florida. Which is getting ready to hit by a hurricane, so it's bad. But I was there 3 days ago, and they were they put me up at a Airbnb. It was like a 3-bedroom beach house with a pool, private pool. No, it was near the beach though.
Okay.
And I was just like, this is unbelievable. And of course, and so I felt bad just even texting my wife because I'd been gone 6 days in a row, and then I come home to do laundry, kiss her on the cheek, and then leave again. And I'm just like, I'm such a heel, and now I'm at a beach house without her. So,
you know, she's your wife. You can kiss her on the mouth if you want to.
Well, we did.
I don't.
We did.
That's all I want to hear about that.
I wanted to keep it PG. I told you I had 8 hours.
I don't. I don't like, like, I get super disappointed like you are if I have a great experience. It's not even just like the accommodations, but like if I go see something and she's not with me to see it, that's significant. It really is like this. There's an asterisk over all the experiences. Like,
is it asterisk or asterisk?
Asterisk.
I think it's asterisk.
Yeah, but we say asterisk.
Yeah, but you should.
If I said it correctly, then you'd be like, isn't it? That's one of those, again, I don't want to. Only a pretentious person would correct something like that. But no, I mean, you know, you just want to. I just want her to experience it with me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I've learned over the years to just dumb it down. If I'm staying somewhere nice, I just go, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a.
I'm glad Curry doesn't listen to this.
Right. Because she would know. No, I told her that, you know, look, this is a bummer.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when you're at the beach, you know?
Yeah, it's just not. But we are getting ready to, I'll say that. We're getting ready to go to Cancun in 3 days, we hope.
Right.
If we can escape evil path of Ian.
Yeah, not the hurricane, the guy.
Right, there's a dude.
And then also there's weather problems.
Angry British guy.
In the air. Hello, I'm Ian. I don't know why the angry.
What do you think you're doing? That's my favorite British accents, when they say fink. What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're about to do? Cancun. You're like, I guess.
We'll come. I don't, is that?
Yeah. So we think we're going to go to Cancun, but we'll see. Because we're connecting in D.C., which is really dumb.
Well, yeah, it's a logical geographical path.
We fly to D.C. at like 5 a.m. and then direct to Cancun from there. So it's a matter of like, I guess they'll fly around.
I don't know, Johnny. I don't go around my problems, bro. I go right through.
Do you go right through? Yeah. We'll go to the eye of the storm. We're just going to follow.
Just going to stay in the eye of the storm and then moves.
That's where the vacation will be. It's a 7-day all-inclusive.
In the eye of the storm.
In the eye of the hurricane.
You got to fly really slow to do that.
It's one of those. It's like a VR ride. No, I don't know. It's so weird when a hurricane's coming and about to ruin your vacation plans, and you find yourself rooting for the hurricane to divert
to someone else.
To someone else.
Where they actually live.
Yeah.
To go ruin their life so you can maintain your vacation.
I'm not doing that, but I'm saying like.
But you kind of are because you said it. I'm not doing that, but I'm thinking it.
Yeah. I mean, Florida. I do so many shows in Florida, and so my heart goes out to this. And I was just there.
Yeah.
I was just there. That beach house where I was at may be in jeopardy.
Right.
And you're so like, as
long
as,
and you're basically saying, as long as I'm not there anymore,
as long as I get to go to Cancun.
Yeah.
Forget those people. No.
I always pray like a broad prayer now in my older days about this, because we're also supposed to go to the beach a few days after you leave.
Yeah.
But we'll be in the Tampa area, Anna Maria Island. And so,
we just sound like we're just like...
yeah. Well, it's fall break for me. I'm not a jet setter like you. I'm not out all the time. It's just, you know, this is fall break.
Well, you really must try it.
So
this jet setter stuff
is
pretty great.
Phenomenal. I fly to D.C. at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Lord, could you just stop the hurricane from hitting anybody?
That's true. We could pray a prayer that it just...
Let this not be a big deal for anybody, and included in that would be my vacation being, preserved.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to pray both and, Johnny, right?
Andor. That's the new Star Wars show.
Andor. The next of the sequels,
both and.
Or.
Both yeah. and, yeah.
That's funny. I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, Johnny, there's always a hurricane in the world somewhere. Come on now.
That's like the poor will always be with you. That's like one of those things of like fatalistic things that people say to make themselves feel better, right?
You know that Jesus said that.
I know, but I'm saying like, I don't know if it's the right context that we say it.
No, I don't think he was being like, hey, don't care about the poor.
You right.
Know, yeah. If I remember correctly, that's when Mary had broken the flask of alabaster perfume and Judas was rebuking her for wasting. And he was like, the poor you always have with you, meaning there's so much work to be done to help the poor all the time.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to do something wasteful in the relationship with me. So
yeah.
Like, you know, this is not all equitable, you know, one penny for one person. You know what I'm saying? It's not how it works. So
yeah.
That's the name of my new book, One Penny for One Person. Guys, if I could just give one penny to one person,
think about
the difference
what you
that
could
would
do.
Make. Right.
I don't.
If every person in my church gave one penny,
yeah,
that's actually, I think, what's happening.
I think that's pretty. That's pretty close to the
You're
number.
In my church. That's funny.
The church is looking good now. You know, you guys have put in the new patio.
New patio is great.
It's great, and there's a new like little area where we can have events. And that's
Sunday
cool.
morning was really.
It's been
cool.
a while since we've done it. That's the thing is like we built this. You guys built this church. We built this city on rock and roll. First
right,
of all,
right.
But you guys helped build the church. That was the big thing. When I first moved here, the church had just got completed. It had been completed like a year.
Yeah.
And so it was all, you know, it's still brand new feeling. Right. People would come over to see our church because we had done some innovative things in the building.
Innovative for the time.
Right.
Not as innovative now.
Right. But I'm saying like people are like, oh, see what they did in their children's department. See what they did in there. See how they used their space.
Yeah.
And, now the new has worn off, and now it's like it's time to fix all the stuff that's wrong. The sidewalk was cracked. But now it's all good.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. And Sunday morning, you know, we do a full breakfast in our brew cafe area. And so now you can extend that outside. And so it was a nice, cool, breezy morning. And
it's getting a little – there's a nip in the air. There's a chill.
We had a great, great time. Like every – we have new seats we put together. If you saw them – You didn't walk in and see that. You literally had to walk past
that. Oh, the little Adirondack?
We got Adirondack. We got the table underneath the pavilion.
I like Adirondack chairs because they promote bad posture.
Don't they promote correct ergonomical?
No, you're like in a, you're kind of, hey, you're laid back.
I think that that's supposed to be more natural to the curvature of your spine.
I know that it feels better to me, so that can't be good.
Right, because I've seen your posture.
Right.
Right.
And it feels good to me. And I'm just going to, I'm the letter C, essentially.
It's like a question mark.
Yeah, I just curl up and, hey, what's everybody doing?
I actually did my sermonization process out there on Thursday morning.
Is that what you call it?
Sermonization.
Is that like when you simonize your car? Places would say they simonized your
just
car and nobody ever knew what it meant, but they were like, well, they simonize it here. We got to go here.
We got to go, yeah. See, I like buff out that next point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I sat out there and it was nice, but I will say this, the chairs were harder. Because, you know, they're not cushioned, as it were. So I did have to go up. Andrew showed up, and I had pulled, like, two huge cushions from upstairs. And I had, like, a big tea. I had a coffee. I had pulled the table around. I had my Bluetooth keyboard with my lap desk. I had, like...
Just out there in nature,
and I,
as it's supposed to be.
And I had found a way to Bluetooth to the speakers that are built in, you know, out there in the outside area. So... He was like, wow, you went to a lot of trouble to create.
Just to be out here, yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I mean,
you moved your office out there, in essence.
That's what I do when I have to write for a couple hours.
I wish when you had done all that, it just started raining.
It did.
Like the minute. Did it really?
It did eventually, yeah. I'd gotten it done, and then we were hosting an event that day, actually, a community event here. And so we all kind of had to be on deck a little bit more than usual on Thursdays. So, yeah, by the time the event was starting, it started to sprinkle. I had to go, like, rush out there and pull it all in. So, but it was nice. It was really, and then this Sunday morning, though, like, the whole.
You feel like it affected the sermon? Do you feel like it?
You know, that's. I had an interesting.
That's really not up to me.
I had a really interesting thing happen related to the sermon.
Oh, yeah?
I'm even reticent to tell this story because.
Hesitant, if you will.
If you will. This is maybe, I'm not going to say the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me sermon-wise, but it's in the top five. Like,
This
is one of the top five things that I've ever, like just odd.
So there wasn't a power outage.
Somewhere between obscure and absurd, I think, here.
There wasn't a power outage.
No.
Nobody charged the stage.
I think the service was great.
Oh, okay.
By the way, so we had our new, we have... what's called multi-tracks now. We've been working on it for months and months. And now it's like, it's a really cool process where like, we didn't have a guitar player Sunday, but you can take the original tracks from the original worship songs from the actual artist.
Okay.
You pay this membership, all this equipment, and basically...
It's like you have loops.
Yeah, it's like, it's filling in the gap. So like, a lot of the songs have these synth lines now that you just... You can't like they were made in a studio. Someone has them on their keyboard. Like you can't go reproduce that exact thing. So it'll play the synth line for you, play the letter, but you can mix it. Like if you don't need the synth line that day, mix it out.
Oh,
so it's just like having that band there.
I bet there's somebody out there already like rolling their eyes at this and saying it's not real worship. Then
maybe, but I still worship. So
I think it's cool.
It actually really helped the band because our lead guitar player's on the road all the time.
Yeah.
So this like really helped for that to be filled in where we had that gap. And then you can you know, put pauses between songs. You can actually, we're going to move to the place where you, there's like pedals and stuff where you program them.
I think we're going to move to the place where we're not even there.
We're not even there at all.
We just hit play and...
Well, you know, the average probably listener doesn't know. They just probably thought it sounded extra full. But for the band, it like it also for guys learning songs. Cause we all work jobs. People learning songs, it cues you in your head, like course to not in your head, Johnny, in your headphones.
Oh, I see.
We don't have the ability to put thoughts inside of people's.
You don't
heads.
Have like chips in your heads,
right?
And stuff.
We're
yet.
Not doing that. Did you say yet or here?
Yeah,
yet.
That's coming.
But it'll be like, you know, bridge, two, three, it's like it counts off and stuff so that you know where the next thing is.
But then you're kind of locked in, right? You can't like double the chorus if you want to.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you can. Oh. We just got to keep expanding. So there's the next thing is you can like have pedals where if you wanted to do an extra two choruses, you just push this button and it keeps cycling through live and tells you what you want to do.
And then you accidentally hit it twice and it loops that chorus forever.
And you're like, I can't get out of this. We really
can sing of your love forever.
Forever, yeah. There are certain songs I just can't. What was that song? Let It Rain. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get out of Let It Rain.
Can't get out of it.
Let It Rain.
Because the first words are the same as the last words.
They are. And it ends on a five, which a five, just it's hard to explain that. A one is like that resolute tonic tone, right?
Feels like the end of it.
Right. You feel like you're there.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
And it's going back into a minor. Right. You can't.
So the crowd's going to go. They're going to keep it going, and you can't. You have to shoot someone to end that song.
It ends with a five, but starts with a six minor. Yeah. So yeah, you're in a minor, and you're like, "What? Like, where do you get out?" It's like again, it's like
you have to go shush them.
Yeah, guys, we're done.
Last one. You have to say that.
And there's always
you
some
hold your fist up,
and then some kid who always wants to keep singing, and the whole crowd follows because they don't want to keep worshiping.
He's got his eyes closed. He didn't see the fist.
You were like, "Hey, guys, we said that was the last one. I'm going to do that one day." When I said last time, guys, I meant it. Now let's sing the next song. At any rate, it was really cool. The band worked really, really hard. I was very proud of them. And yes, we still have room, and they've talked and shared, and we prayed, and the whole deal. It's not that, Johnny. It's just helping us sing the songs.
So that's not the weird thing that happened.
No. So I got to preach. We're doing a series called Out of Order.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like we have all these sentences in the bumper that are the, you know, some one of them's, you know, they'll be like serious or not, but one's like, you know, me timbers shiver.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, shiver me timbers. And then you get to like more things like
other pirate sayings.
Other.
Because it's real relevant.
I don't know why that one came to me.
It's really.
I wrote that video.
Super relevant. No, but you talked about last week.
The pirate community.
Well, the last podcast, you talked about the sermon you did on grace and truth and how the order's important. Because if you just go around giving people these hard truths and you think you're doing the right thing, but you're not offering any grace.
Right.
So a truthless grace is no good, but neither is a graceless truth, and you need to have the right order. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So you talked about that. So that's good. That's part of the same sermon series.
Same series. I'm doing this one on gratitude and how we get gratitude out of order. And gratitude.
Put more gratitude in your attitude.
If you know what I mean.
Your attitude determines your altitude.
Your altitude while you're having the gratitude.
That's a different thing.
That's a whole thing.
Why is there not a...
Why a book is called gratitude.
Gratitude needs to be a...
Come on, everyone.
You need to get that domain name now, gratitude.com.
Oh, my goodness.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue.
No,
it's an awkward word.
Yes, an awkward word for an awkward guy.
Okay. So you're teaching on gratitude.
And its connection to joy, I think. But I tell my whole story of thinking I'm maybe dying of the lung issue. Like I kind of, I really opened
up. Now
you're
on the other side of it. You talked about it because you didn't talk about it.
No,
last sermon
didn't talk about it because you know it was fresh and I wanted them to know. And then I had a personal. I'm not going to talk about it in the podcast. We talked about it, but I had another personal thing that happened this week that is not life and death at all. But I think my margins emotionally are very thin, especially when it's about people that I love. And there were some gut punches that came this last week. That, I mean, really, really, like, I've told the staff this, like, I don't have a whole lot of fortitude. I wish I had. I feel very weak. So I even opened up with Paul saying, hey, when I came to you, I came timid and trembling, not with great persuasive words and lofty, you know, language. So I mean, I was like, that's kind of how I'm approaching this message today, guys. Like,
yeah.
I want to talk to you about gratitude, and this is something I'm not necessarily, great at here. And what do you do when you wrestle? I'm talking about wrestling with the difficulty of life. When it says to give thanks in all things, it's like, really? I mean, what is that? Really? Even David didn't give thanks in all things. Like, you know, he expressed this, and this, and he also expressed thanks. So like this zooming out to be like, hey, this is not hyper-positivity to see the good in something.
Right, just burying your head, pretending.
Just to only see the negative is not actually, you may think that's, oh, I'm a realist. Only see the negative is actually not reality. There is more to it. You guys don't see it all.
It's a filter too.
And only seeing the positive is also not reality. So a real realist is actually seeing both sides. And so I can be grateful because I can still see the goodness of God in the things, even when he's not doing what I wish he would do in those moments, like trusting in something greater than that. So it's kind of that, you know, I mean, it's a wrestle, it's a tension, it's a nuance kind of message of the gospel. So afterwards, we had this visitor, and she had come, and she was talking to our community director, one of our community directors, and Johnny.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say this. She said, "Like this is just again. I'm still grappling with what all this is." She says, "Hey." They said, "Hey, thanks for coming." She's like, "Yeah, absolutely." She pulls her to the side. She's like, "Hey, listen, what's wrong with your pastor?" And she was like, "I don't." She was talking about the health stuff,
right?
And she's like, "Well, I think he's." She goes, "No. I don't think he's saved, Johnny."
Someone who's never met you.
I don't know.
Just judging based on the sermon or your how you look.
And my poor community director was like, "What do you? I don't."
Well, so many people have come to me and asked me if you were saved, and I didn't know what to say either. So it happens all the time. I'm like, can I just order now? It is a weird thing to say.
It is. I was like, well.
That's a weird first interaction with anyone.
And she wasn't going to tell me. It came through others. I see. Like, she was like, I didn't want you sitting around trying to figure out what it is you had
That's
said
true, cause they,
or not
no,
said.
We know what kind of person you and I both are, which is like we overcoach.
Right.
So like if you tell me something like that, it's going to be in my thoughts.
Yeah, the deal is at first you're like, wow, she must not, you know, I'm trying to be careful here. I'm not using words to just dismiss someone.
I want to. Yeah.
But there's always that part of me that wants to, well, you know, I mean, honestly, almost like a science experiment, I kind of want to know why she thinks that. It was, for best, I could say this, it seemed as if it was mostly like all spiritual feeling.
Yeah.
Like just I just was praying about it, the whole
stuff. I got a hunch.
I'm not even sure it was related to what I said, just kind of like a feeling kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I want to know if it's related to what I said, but that's generally what I do. Like, I almost want to, like, a science experiment.
Did I say that made you think I was compromising the gospel or something?
What part of the gospel that I was preaching rubbed up against the gospel as you know it? Because that would be fascinating for me to even write about when I see that with people.
Yeah.
Because I do believe we have multiple versions of the gospel. Even Paul admitted that when he's like, hey, if someone else comes preaching another version of the gospel, don't listen.
Well, we're seeing that right now in our country. We just have, like, it's not even about denominationalism anymore. It's more about, like, you know, is America a Christian nation and all that stuff that's happening. Right. You see people like boldly embracing now Christian nationalism. Like now it's this badge of honor where it was like before people were denying, that's not even a thing. Why would we even talk about that?
Right. Christian nationalism doesn't exist.
Now it's like this thing of like people are running for election based on it. Like it's a strange.
I mean, there was a major politician who stood up and said today, we should all want to be Christian nationalists.
Yeah.
A total denial of its even existence or its definition.
Yeah, it's strange. So we're experiencing that. We're like, what gospel exactly are we talking about here? Where people have different determinations and different definitions of things.
I wonder. Just again, I'm not prejudging. Just from some conversations I know that she had had in the building that were fine. You know,
this was Curry, wasn't it?
It was your wife, bro. And I'm
so
glad that we finally.
She does this, John. You know how she gets when she drinks. I told her. Don't go to church those days.
Hey,
why would you
have to go?
Embarrass our family?
Which basically means don't go to church. Wait, that's those are the days. Sorry, Curry.
Okay.
You know, I did make a little side. I did two things.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you're like, yeah, what did you do? Of course, the person who told me was like, John, you didn't do anything. Like, this is not
right.
This
not
is
about not you. Your,
but I can't help myself but to go.
What sent her down this rabbit trail?
I want to know, you know, what that is that would trigger on that level. And she was very nice about it. Like, I'm sorry, I know this sounds bad. Like, it wasn't like thus saith the Lord. It was just a real, I'm going to have to go home and pray about this. You know, I'm like, man, pray hard you know, about it. Because it's not that I think it's impossible to think that I'm not saved. Let's just start there.
Yeah.
Like, my confidence in me being, and that's not a common expression we use as much in a lot of our world, like saved. And it's certainly there's a biblical parallel to the term because it is used there. But like I don't have any confidence in me. Like, what do you mean? Of course I'm saved. I'm a pastor. Like, that's not really where my
right.
sort of laughing.
Your job is not where you get the right. assurance from.
Or I mean, well, I preach all these sermons. Like, none of that. Like, I think I'd love to have that conversation maybe with her to be like, you know, there's only one reason that I'm confident in my salvation. I mean, it's just I fall fully upon the grace of God because I am a sinner. Like, I absolutely need yeah. mercy every single day. So I don't have any like, yeah, but I do. I mean, I don't want those things to be some reason. And then two, I did break into, I was talking about my issues with food.
Yeah.
And just obviously this wasn't in my notes, but I did that whole, you guys know the old 80s metal song, I Hate Myself for Loving You. And I started singing it. I hate myself for because they know it.
So maybe she's got a hang up with secular said, music or something.
I said, guys, every time I eat the wrong thing, and I know I should eat the right thing. I always go, I hate myself for loving food. Like that's, I said, that actually plays in my head all the time. And they kind of laughed. I was like, no, you're inside my head now, you know.
Yeah.
I had a few sort of asides like that to sort of just lighter.
But maybe she heard that and was like, he listens to secular music.
Right. Was that it? Like,
and he referenced it in a sermon.
Right. He sang it.
Yeah.
Someone else sent me a text like, when your pastor sings an 80s metal song, when you're an 80s metal person, and they were like, sent the, you know, they were so excited, you know. So one person's excited.
That was Curry, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Curry. She,
both times.
She sent it.
By the way, you said you wish you could talk to the lady. She's actually here. Bring her in. It'd be so funny if we went to like a triple split screen now.
This whole time,
she's in there.
Jeffrey's been
She's
back
already
there
got
waiting.
Headphones on. She's ready to go. That'd be amazing. Maury Povich moment.
John, let's play This Is Your Heckler, or whatever.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the other thing I did was I took a, it wasn't mean to be, it was kind of a, it wasn't meant to be a shot, but I took a little, probably what would be considered a shot at like name it, claim it Christianity.
Okay. Prosperity
gospel
stuff.
You and I grew up in. I mean, so, I mean, I feel like I have a platform from which to speak to that is because I mean, nobody's heard it more than I have or has lived in that world. So maybe that's why I'm willing to take those shots. It's like, guys, this is my, half of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but this is the world I've lived in, you know. But it was a, I said, you know, when something bad happens to you, like having, you know, being grateful doesn't mean the only thing you say is God is good all the time. All the time, God is good.
Right.
You know.
Just rock in the corner.
Yeah, and I think I did the voice probably all the time. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. All, you know, like if you guys don't know, listener, that's a, like there are some churches that's like liturgy for them, and it's a very true statement.
It's the only liturgy they do,
right?
And is if a pastor shows up or an evangelist and says God is good.
If you ever say God is good, they have to say all the time, and then the pastor says all the time, and they say God is good. It's like this repeat back and forth. I'm not opposed to the statement.
Yeah,
like I'm opposed to that statement being the only expression you ever have.
Right.
And that was my whole point. Is like, you know, you can actually be acknowledging grief and difficulty and still be grateful to God because you've had
and still think God is good within that grief.
Yeah. You know, it was one of my main, I had five things at the end to kind of help you express gratitude. You know, one is like, hey, sit in it. Like, don't get out of it, of your trouble. Sit in your trouble. And then I talk about zooming in and zooming out. You know, I talk about football, how, you know, you can't always see where the ball is in that,
you
in
lost
that
me.
Scrum, you know, I don't like sports metaphors.
Would you please use a different?
And so, but I was like, you know,
go back to 80s rock.
If you zoom, if you zoom, zoom out slowly. Like, don't be the person that sits next to someone in their grief and trouble and just be like, hey, but let me tell the reasons you should be grateful.
Right.
Like, sit with them. I was like, I don't honestly want anyone, I don't want someone trying to encourage me that won't sit with me in it first.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like,
I've got a joke a little bit about that in that same tone. It's my cheerful friend always is trying to run over and cheer me up if he sees me upset. And he said, Johnny, you know it takes twice as many muscles to frown as it does to smile. And I say, I know. You're worth the extra effort.
That's good.
It's really mean. It's kind of a mean-spirited.
That was directed towards me, wasn't it?
All the
You're
hate.
Like, no, you never cheer me up.
No, you don't. Joe, I'm trying to think what kind of person you are. I think you're pretty even keel. Like, if you see that something's wrong with me, usually you already know about it because I've texted you, hey, something's wrong with me. Right. But if you just saw me and you hadn't seen me in a week, like today when we had breakfast together, like, you would probably go, you good?
I usually ask you.
Yeah.
I can tell if
you. But you wouldn't be like, get over it. You wouldn't try to. Yeah, you wouldn't be like, you got so much to live for. You wouldn't do that.
No.
What are you so mopey about?
You just got back from a huge show. Things are going. You know, I think that people don't understand. Sometimes my lowest lows are after my highest highs.
Yeah.
Almost always, actually.
Well, and just with age, we've grown older together, and so we know more about life. I was thinking, this is kind of inane and an odd description of it, but I was thinking I had to get up to go take something to go to sleep in. I was in a strange place. Mm-hmm. It's at this beach house, and I could not sleep. And I knew I had a 5 a.m. wake up to go drive to Orlando to fly to Virginia. So I was like, I can't miss this flight. I got to get up. I got to drive this rental car. And I couldn't go to sleep. And I was like, I got to, and I forgot to take my melatonin with me in the my backpack because it was such like a thrown together trip. So I get up at 10 o'clock at night and I drive to a gas station and I buy what they had, which was Advil PM. And I was like, you know, if I was in my 20s, I would not want to take that because I was, I would be like, yeah, but I don't, I just want to go to sleep. Right. I don't have pain. But when you're in your 40s, you always have pain somewhere.
This will help something.
This will help something. So it's just like, so that's the thing. When we look across the table from each other, we know we're in pain about something,
right?
Emotionally, physically. Yeah. And it's a shorthand. It goes without saying. If Advil PM is available, give it. And so that's kind of what, that's kind of the thing. So you don't ever assume like, oh, Johnny's successful at this thing that he's doing. Right. I bet everything's great. No, there's a shorthand with our relationship that says what's really going on.
Right.
And I'm going to give this person empathy. And that's what we should give to everybody, but we don't always, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard because I do need sometimes to be reminded.
Yeah.
Of, I guess all about larger perspective. I just don't want to be reminded so fast that you skip over what I'm experiencing. Like there, I usually do that because I'm that disclaimer. I'll do that with my therapist. I'll be like, hey, and he'll laugh. Basically, therapy for me a lot right now is just me talking to me in front of him.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what it'd be for me too.
Because I already know most of this. What I,
you're just saying it out loud.
Yeah, and he'll ask a really pointed question, like, hey, you know, which we have some. The parts language IFS, so like which part is, you know, I'm already ready to answer because I'm already trying to self coach.
Yeah.
You know? But he'll
Before you get in there, you're saying, I bet he'll ask me this and I'm going to say this, aren't you?
Yeah, I probably do that. But it's usually though, he'll phrase something in a way that will open up something else even too. But I think good listening is a key to a lot of things. But someone said something like that one time, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But this like idea that I know there's a bigger picture. And you know the thing I was upset about this week, and sorry, guys, I'm so vague.
Yeah.
I know there's a bigger picture. I know that I just survived a cancer scare. I know, you know, like, I get it. Also, I'm devastated. And then I'm ashamed that I'm devastated over something that's not life and death.
Right.
You know?
Well, then there's the whiplash of that ripple effect of feeling like you're going to die and then also realizing you're not going to die.
Oh, it's bigger.
It's like it affects everything, and it's a jarring thing.
It is. It's relief.
You got to recover from that, even though it ended up good.
Yeah, it's crazy because that sounds very, to someone who doesn't end up good, I imagine that sounds almost offensive.
Yeah.
That's why I feel so ashamed. Also go, you know, I mean, trouble, Laura and I talk about that, and even therapy modalities talk about that. Like, you shouldn't have a trouble comparison as your, like, standard. If you find yourself comparing pain, comparing trouble.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous place to be. It doesn't mean it's not always, it probably has some truth to it. But I think the generation we grew up in was very much like, hey, you know, you shouldn't feel that. Someone in the world has this.
Right, right.
You know, and I try real hard with Sadie. I did it a little bit yesterday. I needed to, hey, we have enough things to actually be upset about. This is one maybe that's not beneficial. So this is a thing we're going to have to tough through.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't do a lot of that, but it has to be done too. I'm not doing her any favors if I'm just like every single thing.
Right.
You know,
it's just red alert.
Right. So there is a little bit of a comparison there. Or to say, you know, like, you know, she works, she was chosen to be in a class, you know, where she volunteers as one of her classes with children with special needs. And it's an unbelievable empathy experience for her.
Yeah.
And she's really, really good with them. But it's also something you can reference. Like, when you're a kid, when do you get those chances to reference, especially if you grow up in a privileged place and you grow up in a place of peace in your country, all these things you could be so grateful for. And so I'm not out trying to create extra adversity so that she develops fortitude. You know what I'm saying? Like, that feels bad, too. Like, I'm going to try
That's
to make
true.
Life hard on you.
Yeah, and we talk about that with generations, too. Like, I worked hard so they didn't have to. And now every generation that's passed, we talk about how lazy they are and how they don't work like we worked. But you're not going to just go out of your way to create. Now, I do know people who came from money that worked like minimum wage jobs with me.
Yeah.
So that is one thing like you can do. You go, okay, we have money to where my kid should not have to work, but they're going to work because I worked. And that you create those things, or you go, I'm not going to use my name. You hear these stories about like Nicolas Cage when he went to his first audition. He didn't audition. He changed his name. He was Nicolas Coppola. Mm-hmm. He was Francis Ford Coppola's nephew. But he didn't want to get the job based on that. He wanted to get it based on his own crazed, weird acting. And he did. And he got that job. He's a one of a kind, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were like, whatever he's doing, we need that. Can you bug your eyes out more? And he said, I can. And he did. But, you know, there is that thing of like, you want to give your kids advantages, but you also don't want to like, there was a great movie with Clooney called The Descendants. And he's having to oversee the will.
Yeah.
Of, I think it's his grandfather. I can't remember the exact plot, but basically there's a line that I always remember because he's had this burden of like all the kids are waiting to see what they get from this very rich person. And he goes, my grandfather wanted us kids to have enough money to do something, but he didn't want us to have so much that we could do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I live in that weird zone where I go, all right, I have enough money that I make that I could really do something with my art, with my life, with my whatever.
Yeah.
But I also almost have enough to where I could do nothing for a time. You know, I'm getting ready to go do nothing in Cancun for 7 days. And even that feels like a strange thing.
Right.
It feels like a spoiled mindset. Well, I'm owed this. I've worked hard this year. But like everybody doesn't get that. So it's a weird thing to think about.
I think that the fact that it's temporary is probably the key to everything.
Yeah. No, we're going to stay.
Isn't that the dream, though? I mean, when you really do dream,
yeah.
when I go to that dream place, and that's a question you'll get in certain, again, modalities, therapeutic modalities, is, well, when you think of your safe, like, in, you know,
yeah.
The goal, and I wish it was not true. I discovered this in recovery. Like, I think a lot about, like, just endless amounts of time, either at the beach or on a cruise ship.
Yeah, escape. Well, they talk about that, too. I've seen people say things like that, even like Dave Ramsey-type shows where they'll say, like, you should build a life that you don't need to escape from or whatever. In other words, like, people that feel like, if I can just get to this 2 weeks vacation, everything will be good, and they live their dreary lives waiting for that moment. And he's, like, telling those people, while he's living his exact dream, he's telling those people, that's bad. You should build a life that you don't need to escape from. And it's like, not everybody gets to just do that. That's not...
Right, there's
that's an arrogant thing to say.
Right. Yeah, how much you're in control of the building of your life, I think, is a big part of the American...
Well, I mean, that's what the pandemic gave us, too. It's that we realized there's an illusion of control. We have an illusion that, like, oh, this will be the way it is. And then when it's all taken away or things are altered or you can't leave your house or whatever it meant for people, you're afraid of death constantly. Like the cloud of death is hanging over us for 2 years. Like it alters you in a way where you go, oh, this control that I thought I felt is really just an illusion.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. How much you're in control. In fact, this morning, I'll read you this as we kind of bring this one in for a landing. But
I wanted the cloud of death statement to be the last thing. I wanted to make sure that that's what I leave. And thanks for listening, everybody. Cloud of death.
That's great.
There's your podcast title.
Yeah. Cloud of death. Yeah. Well, and I can't even find the stuff that I wrote this
John,
morning.
John.
Apparently I didn't.
The worst producer.
Son of a gun.
It'll be fine.
Well, these are daily reminders. It's like, I need to add this. Add to daily reminders. There is trouble and pain that seem worthless, senseless, and avoidable, but still comes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
No pain is truly avoidable. It's a mental trap to think that because I've prayed for safety about so many things, that when trouble comes in those areas that God has failed or abandoned me. I still don't know what this means, where now the next, like, critical point is. I still don't know now. How do I pray for something and ever have confidence that God is going to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, God does most of it. That's the crazy part. But it's now like that, but he might not do everything.
Yeah.
I can't stop everything, even though I can stop a lot of things. That's that whole, like, I can't escape the brokenness or the pain of the world. I can't escape a lot of it, I think, in terms of its consequences, but there's going to be stuff that hits. I always tell, and this last one that got me was, I watched this last thing that hit me this week coming from a year away.
Yeah.
A year away, I prayed about it. And I did. I took great lengths that were very good lengths to try to avoid it for someone that I love dearly. And it still came, and the worst, my worst fear of it all came true. Mm-hmm. And it was an unjust thing. Like, it was unjust. So oh boy, just adds all the ingredients. Like, it was unjust. I saw it coming.
Yeah.
I prayed about it, completely trusted the Lord with it the best that I could.
You forecasted like a six would, yep. And your forecast was correct.
Yeah, forecast was absolutely correct. And I did the work to prevent it, by the way. I did work that should have prevented it, but my work was completely ignored. Then I felt like my prayers were ignored. That's the feeling I get. Like, God didn't step in and change this.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went and had a conversation about it. Like, the injustice was not, like, it was worthless, senseless. It wasn't like there was no purpose to the injustice. Yeah. It was just someone not paying attention.
Right.
You know, when I gave them all the reasons they could pay attention, you know, in a way that was right. And you just go, there's no fixing it. There's no going back. So you just go, there is pain in this world that will be worthless, senseless, and I will see it coming. And I will want to avoid it. I won't be able to. And guys, that's our show. Oh my God. And that's okay. Like, that's, again, that's gratitude. That's I would be better off not living my life thinking I can stop all of that, because that's where I keep getting spun out.
Right. That's the illusion.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's the C.S. Lewis quote about, like, when you lock yourself away from pain, you don't take any risks. You don't risk loving people. You don't, like, you'll be safe, but what you've built for yourself is a coffin.
Right.
Like, you're locked away, but it's not happiness. It's this bubble.
Yeah.
And you'll die there. And so, like, you have to put yourself out there knowing that, like, pain is also part of the equation.
Yeah.
And, it's heavy, but it's true, you know? And it felt like, because you're being so vague about it, it feels like people are going to think that this is an intervention about me. Like, they're going to be like, Johnny, this is why. I saw it coming. I knew you would let me down, and you did.
And you did.
And I just want to take this moment to apologize.
And,
to everyone that's listening to.
You were actually very supportive in this. Johnny, I want to say this. I do want to say this. I've been through hell in some areas in my life in 6 weeks. Johnny W. has been the best friend in the whole world.
John,
he checks on me every day, shows up to stuff.
Just read the cue card. Don't get off script. Read the cue card that I wrote.
He makes jokes when I need them, but not too many, so that, you know, but I appreciate you, man. Like, seriously.
I appreciate you too.
And that's what I told them yesterday. I was like, sometimes in the middle of it, I can't find anything to be grateful for except the people that God's given me to walk through with. And that's a huge part of his grace right then.
That's what makes this next part so hard.
This is the end, John.
I've got to let you go.
John, I have started a podcast with another more successful author. It wasn't hard to find someone.
It's in Cancun. And
it's Curry. It is. Yet again, Curry's really crashed the podcast.
You know, Curry
today
wants to come on the podcast.
You're the one holding her back.
I am.
Said, do it.
Well, she works during the week, and so it's hard. We used to usually shoot during the week, and she's a caregiver, so it's hard for us to coordinate that. Yeah. But we're going to have her on, because I think she's going to have a unique perspective.
I would love to have her on.
She's going
to
just...
It's the same thing. Laura used to be on periodically.
Yeah.
And then now, like, with the job she has now, like, there's just hardly any time. So it's almost as if our wives are working real jobs.
Yes. And we
so
are
that
just...
we can do this.
Right.
That's not how it seems like. That's how
that's
it
how
is.
That's how it is. So, made it awkward.
But, yeah. Anywho, well, you know what's not awkward, though, Johnny?
What's that?
Going to our website and going back through archived episodes.
What is the website? I think it's talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Wow.
And you can find over 200 episodes just stream to your heart's delight.
Yeah.
And
getting ready for the fall break, getting ready, you know, for a road trip with the fam.
What better way than
family,
to go back and be like...
Family fun.
My favorite thing that people might do is go back and listen to one, and then go listen to one like 3 years ago and hear us contradict each other and contradict what we believe now. That would be the fun part. Be like, they said this and now they think this. You mean like a human being? Yes. We've been doing this a long time.
I love how Johnny made it out. It almost seemed like a humble thing. Like, yes, guys, we made mistakes. That is like, it's your mistake for thinking we can't make mistakes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize.
But you know what?
Almost was humble there.
That's the kind of biting, honest tone that you can only get from a real friend. And that's what we want to be for you guys.
Yes.
I mean, not real friends. Please don't call.
Yeah, no, no, no.
We don't give out our
number. Lose our number, even if you have it.
I'm kidding. If you have a number, don't lose it. But seriously, though, if you like the podcast, maybe go leave a review.
Oh, that's a way for the algorithm, the almighty one-eyed devil, to help people find us. So, yeah, leave a review and leave a rating and all that good stuff. That helps. Great.
Make sure you go check out Johnny's comedy. Just go to his linktree.com/JohnnyW, JohnnyW.
Yeah, you can watch my new Dry Bar special there. Oh, a bunch of things are linked.
So good.
Go to Amazon, search John Driver. You can find all John's books. You know the drill there.
Had a new book come out last
28,000 books John's written.
Well, you guys should check out, though, More Than Your Number.
Oh, right. That one just came out.
Beth and Jeff McCord.
Did you go to a big launch party? We need to talk about that next episode.
Yeah. I went to a big lunch party.
It's lunch party, right? Isn't that the Office episode?
Well, he says, lunch party. And Kevin walks up, lunch party. It's like, it's supposed to be launch party. Oh, and he crosses out. It's like, now it says lunch party. Yeah, because I can't spell lunch or launch. Anywho, but yeah, great book, man. If you're like Johnny and you're like a skeptic about the Enneagram in some areas.
I thought it was about weight more than your number. I thought it was going to be about the scale.
Well, no, it's not a book on weight loss.
Oh.
I didn't.
Well.
I would not be the
maybe next time
best collaborative writer for that.
Sure so. You would, John. You're you're fit.
I will say this, in the middle of a lot of the crises, I did not turn to food in the same way. I'm glad I was already on a keto train, because I could have gained 40 pounds here, honestly, if I would have eaten my feelings. So
yeah,
I found other, you know, unhealthy things to do, but it wasn't that, so that's good. So.
That's good. But, you ate other less delicious things.
guys, hey, thank you for spending the time with us, and we'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.